Hi, Jeff here. A little bit of a different, sincere, and
Dead
surreal.
Room
I just put out a
Dead
8-minute
Room
little documentary
Dead Room
on
Comedy
fellow comedian Ali Kareem.
Comedy
And we talked to him last Tuesday. A lot of the interview made it into the 8-minute documentary, a lot of it didn't. So here is our conversation in its entirety. He asks me zero questions. I don't mean to say that to say he's selfish. You can draw your own conclusions. Anyway, thank you for listening. Enjoy. All right, just start by saying where are we and shit like that.
Well, this is the Volo Soccer League. It's every Thursday I play with a team, Courtney's team.
Courtney's team?
Yeah, I found it online, and I just, you know, I just. I wanted to do something, so I figured like a co-ed league would be fun. Because, you know, when it's all men, it gets to be a little competitive, and, you know, I have a little competition in me, so I get, I start yelling.
Yeah. So this was like a...
So this is like kind of, in a way, I'm like managing my emotions.
Yeah.
Because I understand that I'm playing for a team, but I'm not playing for a competition, I'm playing for fun. And that's the difference. I mean, I still want to score and everything, I still want to win, but it's a lot, it doesn't weigh it on you as much as like, you know, like we gotta fucking win. So the thing I like about this team is like, we're just having fun.
Yeah.
We're just getting to know each other as a team, so.
Yeah.
I don't know half of their names, but I only see them like once a week or once every 2 weeks. And I've been injured, so
right.
Yeah.
When is that something new to you? The idea of like, oh, I can choose my environment and therefore behave differently. You know, like my environment affects how I behave. Like, is that something new or is it a learned thing over time?
Well, that's something that I've been learning over the years. So I'm always trying to, you know, I'm not trying to, I don't know, like, there's a, like, the culture difference, and as far as soccer and life, is just, I don't know, now I sound like an idiot.
No.
But the way I look at it is like, I like to get in, and situations where I'm uncomfortable, and then in a way turn it to my own way and make it comfortable.
Yeah.
So this is something that's different from, you know, the pickup games that I play, because, you know, pickup games, like, I got elbowed in the fucking mouth, like, you know, I was bleeding and shit, and I told the guy, I'm like, what the fuck? You know, but back in the day, I would say if somebody did that to me, I wouldn't even say anything. I would just wait till he gets the ball. So I'm developing over the years, you know, I'm trying to manage my anger.
Yeah.
If that's, you know, because I'm, you know, I could, I'm a little angry sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's good to be, it's a good feeling for me to like, able to like recognize something and be like, you know what, I'm gonna be the bigger person. So I'm trying to be a bigger person.
Yeah.
And yeah.
When how would you compare this environment with your anger versus like a comedy open?
Well, open mic. Well, see, I love comedy, and I think a lot of people that come to open mics or just have, well, especially like the audience of open mic. You can never please an open mic audience, but when you do, it's a good feeling. You know, but the idea of open mic is I'm working on things. I'm not trying to please anybody. I'm just working on my, you know, my craft. I'm trying to develop my jokes. I'm trying to make it better. And sometimes people, you know, take my, like, they get intimidated, and I'm not trying to intimidate anybody. I'm not trying to, so if you're going to be friends with me or you're trying to associate with me, I'm going to be myself. And sometimes myself, like what I say, you're not going to like it. So if somebody asks me about their set or something, you know, it all comes down to competition. And I think a lot of people come and they treat comedy like it's a way to, like, you know, something to do, hang out with people, get high, drink. To me, it's work, it's school. It's at the same time, I'm trying to get booked. I'm trying to, you know, if I make friends, then by all means, but I want to be friends with the right people. I don't want to, you know, I like to take my time to get to know people. And sometimes people judge me right away, or they have this idea of me, or they heard about me. And, you know, those people, it's like, just fucking get to know me, you know? Understand who I am, understand what type of person I am. That it's hard for me to show love. It's hard for me to show, you know, like, I'm not a hugger. You know, it takes a lot for me to hug somebody. You know, it's like, I really have to know you for me to hug you. Yeah. And I feel like hugs are just been thrown out, you know? So I'm not saying don't hug me, but, you know, don't. Yeah. And, like, you've seen my comedy, so you understand what type of comedy I am. And, you know, I'm sarcastic most of the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people struggle with sarcasm, so they think that I'm serious, or I'm trying to, or I'm mad at them.
Yeah.
And the truth is, dude, I am mad at you. I really am not.
Yeah.
You know, people say a lot of things, but you have to understand, like, everything that comes, if it has no use to me, or if it's negativity, it comes out of this, or it goes in this ear, it comes out of this one. I don't have time for like emotions. I don't have time. I'm dedicated on what I want to do. Oh, it's a squirrel. I love squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. This is the first fucking thing that I saw when I moved to America. I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know, I see the chipmunks, but it's different. I think it's one of the things that makes me realize, like, I'm in America.
Yeah.
Squirrels.
Squirrels.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, man. It's, you know, I don't just love comedy. I respect comedy. I respect everybody that goes up on stage. But that doesn't mean I have to like you for me to respect you. I can recognize that you're doing something. And, you know, it's like, if I don't know you, I'm not going to put in, you know, it's just, there has to be a connection between me and the other person for me to connect with them on a different level than comedy. But as far as open mics, I love open mics. I love seeing people develop. It actually, like, it's the one thing that keeps motivating me. And it's one of the biggest, like, factors of keeping somebody humble. Because you go to a show and you know, you do good, but you come to an open mic and like, a mic will keep you humble. It keeps you on your feet. You can see other people doing their set and how they develop. And that, for me, that is like a whole different feeling. So, I don't know, man. I can never, like, I don't go out on Tuesdays to mics because, as you can see, but I try. But I love to go to every single mic and just test out different material and see how it works. Like, material works at Lion's Lair, then, yeah. Yeah, I have to try it somewhere else to see how it works. And I think the beauty of Denver, that there are so many different mics and so many different audiences that you can workshop a joke in a week, yeah, instead of months, and you can get different perspective, and it really helps you to understand, like, the different type of crowd and how you can approach them, you know, because I'm not trying to offend anybody, and if people get offended, like, then they don't see what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So at the same, you know, I want to entertain people. I want people to have fun. I don't want them to have a bad time. So,
yeah.
Mics is what I perfect my work.
Yeah.
Mics are my work.
Yeah.
I love Mike. Yeah, I think mics are essential to keep getting better. Like, because it's like they can be humbling, even though like the showcase crowds have the expectation of comedy, which can, you know, is makes you gotta elevate your jokes to their standards. But also, yeah, open mic crowds. When you see, like, I love being around comics that are like a few months in that are really crushing. Cause it's like, oh, there's just a creative energy that I think we're all tapping into, and I feed off them, they feed off me, kind of thing. I think it's all essential.
Thank you.
Yeah, wait, a little bit that way. So, one thing that came to mind was that when you mentioned sarcasm, I feel like sarcasm really hinges on tone and hinges on voice and stuff like that. And it makes me think that you already have an extra barrier versus all these other white or American comics that are speaking in the American, that like just like a more familiar accent, familiar dialect. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what ways does it affect you? What ways do you try to get around it, or you just try to power through and hope the audience catches on?
I think sometimes I push it too hard. And, you know, I'm just, like, I'm not there yet. You know what I mean? Like, I'm working on being there.
Yeah.
But with that being said, like, I'm not perfect. Like, I still make mistakes. I still go to open mics and fucking talk shit. And sometimes it comes off as funny. Sometimes it gets taken the wrong way. And you'll have a, you know, like an awkward moment with another comic. But I do it from, like, love. I don't mean anything by it. I'm, you know, and if I meant it, you would know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's literally what it is. Like, if I meant something, you would know, because I'm not the type of person that, you know, like an ass kiss or, you know, an ass kiss or anything like that. I don't sugarcoat it.
Right.
Yeah.
So to go back, because I don't want to keep you too long. To go back to soccer. When did you start playing soccer? And yeah, I'll start with that.
Oh man. I've been playing soccer my whole life, since I remember. It's like, it's a thing that we do. We used to play in the street, you know, like barefoot. And I remember I used to like kick the ball, but instead I miss and I hit the fucking concrete and my toe would get like open and bleed. And I would like cut my shirt and like, you know, patch it.
Tourniquet.
And then and then go back and play. So I think when I'm away from soccer is, I feel like there's something missing. And, you know, like I have to, like, exercise. I don't work out. You know, I don't work out. But yeah, can you zoom in on that?
Yeah.
Zoom in on that right there. You see that? That's my jerk off muscle. I mean my soccer muscles. But yeah, it's a place where I feel connected not only to here and back home. So it's something that I've been doing my whole life. I mean, I broke my femur and I was like a year in, I was still playing soccer, but I was like, it's still tender, and I would get hit and they would have to fucking drag me out of the field. But that's how much I love soccer.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's therapy to me.
Yeah.
It's what I go to deal with, like, you know, like, emotions and everything. Like, I put it all in the field, and then afterwards I'm just relaxed.
Yeah.
I think it, you know, it's one of my ways to like meditate.
Yeah.
And, you know, help me clear my thoughts in a way, and just for however I'm playing, it's just focused on that and disconnect from everything else. So
yeah
I mean, I started as a goalie, but then I worked my way up. And you know, I'm a selfish player. I would say that, like, I'm a ball hog, but at the same time, you know, I like to be a team player. I try to be a team player.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is there a moment was there a specific moment when you realized with soccer where you're like, oh, this is something that is an essential part of me and I can't go too long without playing it?
I think the older I get, the more I realize that.
Yeah.
Because when we get older, we, you know, you get distracted. I moved here in June last year, and you know, like I had a routine. I play soccer with my friends. I play in the league. I play pickup games. It was just part of my everyday routine. But when I first moved here, you know, for the first 3 months, I was staying with a friend. Like I was sleeping on their couch and everything. And it was so hard for me to play, but at the same time work on my comedy. So I chose comedy and I just like buried my head in there and I really forgot about soccer. Like I would see people playing and I wouldn't feel anything. And it's just, I said, fuck it. I'm gonna sign up for a league. So this is what I did. I signed up for this league.
Yeah.
And I start playing pickup games and that's where I got injured. Some fucking asshole kneed me in a shin. But you can fucking put me down. Can't keep
just
me down.
just in case he watches.
But yeah, I mean, and the thing that I like about soccer, like no matter how bad it gets during a soccer game, afterwards we're all still friends. We're all, you know, we can hash it out right away because we understand that we're both playing a game. We're both just like, and that's one of the things I picked up from soccer is whenever, like, if I'm in a serious situation with somebody, and then right after that I don't have any feelings about it. I don't have any, you know, unless you like hurt my family, then of course I'm gonna hold something against you or you're trying to hurt me. But at the same time, it's just like, whatever happened, it already happened in past. So I don't hold grudges. To be honest, I forget. So.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, I was thinking about it earlier. Like, I think growing up my whole life, I looked up to soccer players.
Yeah.
You know, I looked up to so many soccer players, as role models. So, you know, soccer is a beautiful game, man.
What was it about those soccer players that you looked up to?
Oh man, just like leadership, just pure entertainment.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, any sports.
Yeah.
You know, any sport you see, it's just there's a moment of just pure talent, and that's so rare to see.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what inspires me. Is talent, is dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is obviously your outlet, kind of like a third thing. You know, you have your job, you got comedy, and this is kind of like another third thing, but essential thing. Is comedy the space where you see yourself as that undeniable talent? Potentially, like down the road or now?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to put this in words, but I like when I was in Omaha, like I when like comedians started new, like I guided them and showed them the way, and now. You know, like one of my friends that when he started, like he's in New York doing shows now.
Yeah.
And, you know, every now and then he would reach out to me and he said, man, I wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah.
You know, like I have people that look up to me and you know, I don't want to disappoint them.
Yeah.
And
that's you looked up to people at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So not that you'd ever have to do this, but if you had to give up one comedy or soccer, which would you give up? And just think out loud as you do it.
Ah, fuck. I don't know, man. I don't think I'm able to give up either, because they both bring me like different type of joy and different type of fulfillment. So comedy is what I'm able to be free and be myself. And you know, I grew up in Iraq, so like freedom of speech wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's a very powerful tool, because what you can say on stage, you know, it's wild that you can literally say anything.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name? Robbie.
Robbie
has a joke. He's like, you know, you can talk about politicians and just and presidents and just live.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite jokes by him, you know, because it's so true. But it's so rare to you know, the American people, because, you know, freedom comes with a price. And it's like, I love to be free. You know, I think like in Iraq, like after the war, people didn't know like what freedom was, because we never, you know, like we didn't really experience freedom. So when we had like full freedom, we freaked out. People were fucking going crazy, you know, they didn't know. But you know, everything comes with responsibility, and yeah, so like, yeah, I can say anything, but at the same time, I have to watch what I say.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a powerful tool, and you know, power is very, it's addicting, you know. That's why there's dictators, because they can't let go. So I'm not trying to, you know, dictate the comedy scene, but at the same time, I'm gonna say, you know, what I'm feeling, and I'm gonna say how I, you know, how I feel or how I felt.
Yeah.
And it's just a way for me to express my freedom.
Yeah. So lastly, so thinking of your freedom, what is the price you pay? Whether that be as an American, Iraqi American, as a comedian, whatever. The way you feel free, what is the price been?
The price, I feel like I already paid it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the war. selling DVDs to U.S. soldiers when I was a little kid, and like at the same time, I risked a lot. I risked my life, my family's life, for something that I believed in. But at the same time, I was able to get everybody out, and you know, like.
Your whole family, yeah.
Yeah, my whole family, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was... I can't believe it. You know, it's just like, I got my family out. And, you know, I'm sure Iraq is different now, and it's just... But at the time, I just couldn't handle, like, a phone call from my family saying, like, you know, somebody passed. I lost two of my uncles, and... You know, like in Iraq, or Middle Eastern families in general, like we're very, very close. So like we all live together, you know, and
yeah.
Losing somebody that's a big part of your life will change you forever, you know. And so, yeah, if you ask me what I gave up for freedom, a lot more than you can imagine.
Yeah.
So, you know, safety. Temporarily for my family. I had to move them out of the country, and I was working on a military base while supporting my family. And I could have came to the United States like after a year I was working with the US military, but I chose not to. I chose to stay and make sure that my family were taken care of before I moved.
How old were you?
I was 18. So I started selling DVDs at 13, but I was able to work as an interpreter when I reached, you know, of age. So I got hired on my birthday, actually. Like, I flew out to Fallujah on January 20th, 2007. That's when I turned 18. So, it, you know, I had a plan, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And that's how I feel about comedy, is that I have a plan, and I have a direction. And I don't know where that direction is going to take me, but I'm not stepping away from it. Like, I know it's something right for me. I know it's something that made me a better person, made me appreciate a lot of things that I didn't appreciate when I first got here, you know.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts on that?
Because
I got some more questions I'll ask later, but like, not, it doesn't have to be now, because I know you gotta go.
I mean, you know, just follow what you believe in. And I know that sounds cheesy, but if you really have, if you see it, then, you know, no one else can see it.
Right.
So fucking stick to it.
Dead Room Comedy. Dead Room. Dead Room Comedy. Comedy.